Hi, my name is Peter DeRiga, and I use the great Droid Incredible.
My name is Mike. I'm from Columbia, South Carolina.
By the way, Mickey, root your phone already. Come on.
I've got a Motorola Droid that I have just rooted. Root your phone, Mickey. Root your phone. Anyway, this is the Android Central Podcast.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome to the Android Central Podcast. It's episode 12 for Thursday, March 13th, 2010. And I am Phil Nickinson. And with me, I have Mickey Papillon, back as always.
Want me to say hi?
That's your cue to say something, yes.
And we
brought along Jerry Hildenbrand. You guys know him from the blog and from his Sunday columns, which teach you all sorts of Linux and other weird stuff that I've never heard of in my life. Jerry, how are you?
I'm just fine, Phil. How are you, Al?
I'm a little tired. I'm sure everybody knows I just got back from New York City about literally 2 hours ago and was up there for the Evo 4G Redux launch. I mean, it was weird. We just had an Evo announcement party event thing at CTIA in March. And then all of a sudden they're like, hey, come up to New York and hang out and we'll show you more stuff. So went up there and they announced pricing June 4th. Wait, let me try that again. They announced pricing, $200. They announced the date, June 4th. That's how that works, right? That's with, right. What, two-year contract, all the usual stuff. And we also got some, you know, service contract details too, right? And it was a little confusing, and I have to apologize for everybody because Sprint apologized to us too. They put out the press release, and it said, all right, you got $10 on top. All right, well, first you have the $70 everything whatever plan. On top of that, there's another $10 for the premium services slash 4G slash whatever. And then if you want the 4G hotspot, which does up to 8 devices, then that's another $29 a month. So it's a lot of money, right?
Yeah, that's not good. That's a bad idea. I don't think they should have done that. Another $30 a month, look how well that worked out for the pre and people just decided to not do it. And Verizon made that decision. And we talked about this and we said they better not have that $30 a month in there. And You know, look what they did. So
in the extra $10 got a little confusing because we started asking them, we're like, well, is any of this optional? Right. The hotspot is totally optional. You don't have to buy the hotspot. The extra $10 a month is not optional. And at some point last night, they told us it was optional. Look, we're in a room with Sprint corporate people, with corporate PR people. So we're asking them the question. We're asking for clarification on the press release. And so for like half an hour last night, they said it's optional. So I had it in our post. A whole bunch of other people had it in their posts that it was optional. And then they came back and said, no, sorry, our bad. We screwed up. It's not optional. So you're going to have to pay that extra $10. And you know what? It's not just for the 4G. So if you don't live in a 4G city, you're still not losing out. You get the video chat, which works over Wi-Fi and 3G just fine. You get the upgraded YouTube client, right, which will work. I assume it works for the high quality YouTube on Wi-Fi. I don't know why it wouldn't.
It will.
Yeah. So you get extra stuff just beyond the 4G for that $10. So that's not a huge deal. And I tell you what, if you could turn the hotspot off and on, like almost like you can do with the iPad and data. Like if you had the option just to choose, and I'm sure you can just call Sprint and like if you find you're not using it, just turn it back off, right? It's a lot of money, but it's a lot of device. 4.3 inch screen. I mean, I know, Mickey, you've seen the HD2. Jerry, have you used an HD2 in that monstrous?
Yes, great phone.
What do you guys think? A lot of people, just civilians I talked to in the past couple of days, I was telling them about this phone. And they're like, oh, that sounds too big.
Yeah.
Nah.
I was going to ask you the same thing. I mean, you're a very, I'll just, not to imply anything, but you're a very average guy.
Oh, no. I mean, I'm not a big guy, but it felt
exactly.
Fine in
how
my
did
pocket.
You feel like, how did you feel holding, was the size of the device, you like, fine? I mean, I think it's a little big, honestly, but I mean.
There's really no way maybe not to make this sound bad.
I know. It's really going bad.
There's just
no way.
There's
about four times. Yeah.
No, it didn't bother me that much. I mean, yeah, it's a little large, but like anything, if you do it enough, you get used to it. I've given up. I mean, there's no way to bring that back. Yeah.
So the size is fine. We'll move on.
The size is fine. It felt just fine. What else? What questions do you guys have for me that came out of this?
I just want to know, is your, you know, in your overall experience with this, you've got more experience than any of us with all these different hands-on with these things. So go Nexus, Incredible, Evo, and which one are you picking and why?
Well, again, I think you have to start with your carrier. If you're on Sprint, it's kind of a no-brainer. Go get the Evo.
Sure.
Abso-friggin-lutely. It has sense. It's the same sense, the exact same sense that's on the Incredible, that's on the Legend, that's on the Desire, that you can hack on to whatever ROMs are out there now. So sense is sense is sense. That's good. You got.
Well, I don't want to interrupt you, Phil.
Please do.
I'm going to ask my question right now because you're already talking about it. Does it have the same sense as the Incredible or the same sense as the Legend? There are some differences. The news widget. You know, there are a little bit of differences.
Yeah,
I was wondering if you
what's going on with that news widget? Because I can't remember which ROMs have it and which one, like which devices I've used that have it and which ones don't.
The Desire and the Legend that are in Europe have the news widget and I do believe an HTC Plurk client that I've never seen on a US phone with Sense.
Okay. Yeah, because I've used the news widget. Like it looked familiar to me and I just couldn't remember which device it was on, so it must have been the Legend.
Well, yeah, on your Nexus with the Legend ROM, that's where I've used it too.
Okay. Well, and I've used the Legend itself as well. So that's, I mean, I'm just so confused over what app is, you know, what ROM is on what phone now. That's a good question if it has the news widget, because I like that. That was actually a pretty cool widget. It doesn't really work
so
for me.
I.
For you guys who don't know what it is, it's basically, it's an RSS reader, but it's a widget on your home screen, so it brings it all to you. And for me, it doesn't really work because I have like 2,000 RSS feeds I follow. It's a little stupid. But, you know, if you're just talking 2 or 3 or 10, then it should work just fine and be pretty darn good, I think.
Well, yeah, I put my newspapers on the RSS reader from, you know, built into HTC.
Hmm.
And then I use another RSS reader for the 10,001 tech, you know, feeds I follow. And it's kind of nice to have those news headlines sitting right on one of those 7 screens.
Yeah.
You didn't answer my question, though, Phil. I mean,
well, what was the question?
You said, I was asking you Evo, Incredible, Nexus. And all you said was, well, if you're on Sprint, absolutely get this device. But as someone who has used all of them, you know, and then you got into Sense.
Yeah.
Where do you go from there? I mean, do you like the bigger screen? Is it worth it? Is the 8-megapixel camera that much better? Is having a front-facing camera that critical? Is the Wi-Fi capability of it something that you feel you would use on it, or do you stick with the MiFi? Those kind of things.
The differences are kind of becoming so minute. I mean, when you look at the Nexus, you almost look at it as kind of the low end of the major high-end smartphones now, right? But you know, an 8-megapixel camera would be great. I still don't know how great the lens is, right? There's that.
You didn't try it?
No, I mean, I've tried it. I've seen it, but I haven't like taken pictures and gotten to bring them back into Photoshop and really take a good look. It's all right. So the Nexus is the low end and it doesn't have Sense, but you can put Sense on it. The Nexus to me is kind of like it's almost like a basic dev phone now. You can just do whatever the hell you want to it. So for me, it works. I still don't think it's going to sell any better than it is just because nobody knows about it. So if you have to choose between the Incredible and the Evo, I think you can go either way. I think they're both fine. The Incredible doesn't have the hotspot, the 4G hotspot, and that's unfortunate. But it's more pocketable. You know, it's a little cheaper if you worry about the $50 difference, right? I don't know. Where do you guys stand on this?
Well,
Yeah,
I mean, looking at it, obviously.
Ooh, chat room saying Evo.
Yeah, I'm thinking Evo too, but that's just because it's got the higher specs on it. But I honestly, I'm kind of cheap when it comes to things like an additional $30 for, you know, the Wi-Fi capability or the hotspot capability. I don't know if I would spend that. I just don't think I would use it as much. You know, I can figure out another way to get a connection, although it would be nice to share a 4G connection. And, you know, for that, I would say it could be worth it if someone travels a lot. But I think there are enough compelling things about it that would make it, you know, for, we'll just say May 13th, it's my pick of the minute, you know, as quick as these things are changing. But I think as a someone who lives in an area that has Verizon service that is far superior to Sprint, that I would have a hard time choosing it, though. And I would probably, if it was the only device that I could have, then I probably would go incredible. But from a pure spec device, I like what the Evo has to offer.
But see, you just came back to our, you know, the first thing we tell people is what carrier are you
on?
So,
yeah.
Yep. Chat room's about to blow up. I'd pick the Nexus over either.
You're like me. Say it. I mean, we're tinkerers. We like to mess with stuff.
Yeah.
So, and you and I don't count. I mean, we do, but we're not normal cell phone users. So, what else? What else do you guys want to know? It was a cool event. I guess let me talk about that for a minute. So it started around 6 o'clock, and if you know, I know nobody's ever been to one of these things, and I actually have a post I'll put up here probably as soon as we're done with the podcast, just a little behind the scenes stuff. So you get in, it's at this kind of event space, right? Very shiny, very shiny and dark at the same time, right? A lot of lights, little hors d'oeuvres being passed around by waiters every 30 seconds. You know, would you like a shrimp casserole on this little half inch cracker? You know, stuff like that. You look kind of
stupid. And I hope every time that happened, you thought of me.
I actually skipped all the hors d'oeuvres. I did kind of ravage my way through the Godiva chocolate table when they brought that out, or brought out several of them. You know, and you have drinks and stuff too. So it's a whole bunch of bloggers.
What was in the glass?
That one was they called that one the 4G. That was vodka and grapefruit and something else. They had, they had a bunch of like chocolatinis and they had another Sprint themed drink. I forget what it was called. You know, so it's always fun to see what they come up with. So it's a whole lot of journalists at this thing, industry people. And then they usher us into this big room full of almost look like pews. I mean, it's like very cool couches and very hip. And I'm sitting next to a woman from JP Morgan Chase who was like, "You're doing this live?" I'm like, "Yeah, you know, it's not that big a deal. Come on. It's not like a live podcast. That's tough." And then Dan Hesse comes out and talks about the phone and says, "All right, here's when it's coming out. Here's how much it's going to cost." And then he brings up other people to do more demos. And they weren't that well. Some of the demo stuff we saw at CTIA, but we didn't get a whole lot of software at CTIA, right? Because it wasn't ready. And they told us at the time it's not ready yet. So that was kind of the big reason to bring us back up there, I think. And so they did a whole bunch of demos. I tell you, the other cool demo is watching this thing spit out video over, is it micro HDMI or mini? I forget which, the little one, whatever. And it was very fast and perfect. So you can watch high def movies from your phone plugged into a TV. Are you ever going to do that? I don't know. Either of you care about?
Can't say I would ever use that. The one thing that would be nice for is to have it where you can plug it in and stream something like maybe once we get the Slingbox application, if you've got a Slingbox that you want to watch on a big screen, whether you're in a hotel room and you want to watch your home, or like I do, I've got Slingboxes around the country and I watch different sporting events from different states that are on the local channels there here at home. Now, I have a computer that's I can just plug into my TV and makes it really easy to do that. But if I was someone that maybe didn't want to do that, I could just do it all directly from the phone, which would be kind of cool.
chat room's asking about the quick video chat. And we saw that it actually kind of failed during the demo, and it was a little embarrassing for them. But it happens. I understand that, especially anybody who tried to catch the podcast last week live. So it happens. But I did get to see a demo of the video chat, and you can do it either through the front-facing camera, and that's 1.3 megapixels, or you can, you know, stream the 8-megapixel camera through Quick. And it's all done through Quick. I was a little, I think I was talking to Paul Miller from Engadget about this. It's a little interesting that they used Quick and not some sort of custom video chat thing. I think the general consensus is the iPhone's getting a front-facing camera and probably video chat, right?
You think?
You think? Yeah, I mean, sure. We kind of know now. So we're like, yeah, you know, I mean, this is good, but we're both really curious to see how Apple sets the bar for that and then how everybody kind of catches up. Because, I mean, let's face it, Apple does a really good job of that. And I'm just not sure that Quick is the answer. Quick's a really good app and they're really good people, but it's kind of off the shelf. And I would kind of rather see something more custom built. And that's not to say that Quick won't work for it, but I was expecting something a little different.
Maybe Skype? Well,
maybe Skype, but something more built in, not just where you launch an app. Because you're still launching an app, and it was still like two or three functions to change the camera. You had to go into the normal camera settings that you have. It's like, no, that's too tough. You need a button right there on the screen, pick a camera, that's it. And they didn't do that. So they're using the tools at their disposal now that make sense and that seem easy, but they're really not. It's still 3 and 4 steps that a user's going to have to take.
Well, Keith just hit it right on the head in the chat room. You got to standardize video streaming.
Yeah.
And then Paul and I were talking that everybody will follow.
Yeah. No. Paul and I were talking about that too. There's not one, you know, Quick uses its stuff. Skype uses whatever Skype does. What else do we have? Actually, no, I take that back. It will work in Google Talk, I believe they said.
Oh, well, okay, that's great. It kind of changes things there, Mr. Nickinson.
Yes, G-Chat, that's what I meant.
Okay.
Well, there's a lot of info coming at us. And I need to go back and watch. If you guys haven't watched it yet, go watch the video because I'm probably forgetting stuff. So we've got the video up of the Quick guys walking us through it. So do that.
Yeah. Voice and data at the same time. That's
voice and data at the same time. How about that? All right. It doesn't work over EBDO, over 3G.
Of course not.
But it will do simultaneous. Well, it never has, right? That's kind
exactly
of the old. We've been making fun of Sprint forever, and so is AT&T now. But you can do simultaneous voice and data over 4G or over Wi-Fi. That works. They demoed it. We saw it. Good to go.
Right. All right. Moving on then. No, I mean, okay. This is a great thing to have. You're obviously, mm-hmm. if you're in a 4G area, you're going to be probably very excited to know that this is something that is just kind of built in with the way that this type of technology works. And you can, you know, a lot of people will like it. It's a great thing. Although you have to be in one of those cities, which are few and far between at this point. But I know there's more coming.
They're growing. And we have a list up in the EVO 4G forums. If you want to keep an eye on that, we're trying to keep it up to date as best we can. Yeah. And that was the other weird thing. Kilo 720 says in the chat room, New York doesn't even have 4G yet. So yeah, it was a little odd that you launch this thing, which is, you know,
what are they going to do? Fly you to Lubbock for the event? I mean, come on.
I would have gone. Well, I mean, I didn't want to go back to Vegas for this. What cool cities have 4G? Kansas City?
Houston? Houston does. Chicago does.
I'm not going back to Houston. I spent a night in Houston coming back from Vegas last time. Now let's go to Kansas City. Get some barbecue.
Yeah, it's not there yet.
Chicago, yeah. Well, see, they couldn't have done it in Chicago because the GDGT event was in Chicago. San Antonio could have done that. I would have gone there. Yeah, Chicago has very good pizza. Puka Core. And the I love the chat room. The chat room's fun. You guys are fun. Maui, yeah. I don't think they're going to fly us to Maui.
Yeah, not here in Arizona. No, yeah. We don't have.
You don't have any 4G in Arizona?
No. Have you seen the WiMAX maps? It's in like Texas, up in the Pacific Northwest, and then it's like someone sneezed. It stinks.
They told me
they totally dropped the ball on this.
One Sprint guy I was talking to is like, yeah, we're rolling it out in smaller places first to make sure it doesn't just totally blow. So there you go. Jerry, you don't have it on the side of your mountain in West Virginia, do you? Did we lose Jerry?
I don't know where Jerry went.
Jerry!
Am I here?
There you are.
There I am.
Fell asleep.
No,
I'm
even
sure he has internet in West Virginia.
Yeah, there you go. West Virginia, the cloud moved, so my internet went out.
So is that it on the Evo? Do I need to keep talking about it? Chat room keeps asking if video chat will be ready at launch. Yes, I don't know why it wouldn't. Yes, quick video chat will be ready at launch. It's ready now. I've seen it. It worked.
June 4th, $200. Good price. I thought it was going to be three. It is three, but you get $100 rebate, so whatever.
Right. Yeah. No, $200 is a good price.
Good price.
All right. That's enough Evo. How about, speaking of the Nexus One and Sprint, not coming.
Ah!
Sorry, dude.
It breaks my heart.
All right, so no CDMA Nexus One. I kind of wonder if there was ever one made. All right, here's my conspiracy theory, right? It was the same day that Google announced that the AT&T version of the Nexus One was available. And then literally like 45 minutes later, Sprint sends out its own press release saying, hey, we're getting it too. No Nexus One news has come anywhere from anywhere other than Google. It has all come out from Google. And then here comes Sprint, you know, waving their hand in the air. Us too. We're getting it too. We're getting it too. And I got to wonder if Google even knew.
I've held a CDMA Nexus One running on Sprint in Frederick, Maryland. So they exist.
Huh.
Yep. There was a, I assume he was from Sprint. And he was just there with a briefcase full of promotional materials, talking to people in the store. And he had one in his hand. And I jumped. I said, is that what I think it is? And he showed it to me. And he said, yeah. And I said, you know, what do you know about it? He said, nothing I can tell you. And that was about it.
I just got pinged in an email. Let's see. Verizon did not dump the Nexus One. Google's getting out of the phone business. So, you know, maybe that's true. I don't know. I mean, do you want to say that this is like a failed experiment from Google now?
I don't know. Why do we have to say it was failed? How about it was just an experiment from Google and the experiment is over?
See how I led you right down that path?
Yep. It got a lot of people talking about it. Maybe that was the whole goal.
It's a nice phone. I mean, you're not going to sell enough of anything just doing it with the model they used, I think. I do like the idea. I mean, I've said it over and over. I don't like going into cell phone stores. But, yeah, you're just not going to sell enough that way. People need to be able to use them. If they'd open it up to... I don't want to go down this argument again because we've had it just ad nauseum. But if they had put it in stores and said, here's the Google phone, do you think people would have bought it?
If it would have been subsidized, sure.
Yep. I think that's the key in America.
That's right.
There you go.
Done.
That's all I want to talk about with the Nexus One. I'm tired of that argument. What else? HTC sued Apple right back. Do you even want to talk about that? Zing.
Did you see what they're showing, what HTC is actually complaining about?
I've seen the list is out there.
Gadget put it up. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's laughable. You know, in our heart, all Android fans were saying, yeah, sick 'em HTC. But then when you see what it really is, meh, you know, it kind of pales against what Apple's claiming, but you never know. It may be enough to quiet all this mess down.
Hopefully. I mean, it's still going to be a long, drawn out process either way, right?
Yeah. I'm sure.
What else? The LG Ally. Now, see, I should have started off the podcast. Let's talk about the phone everybody wants to talk about, the LG Ally. But I didn't, and you can all thank me for that later. I was a little surprised to actually see this phone. I've got a source within somewhere that It's like, yeah, there's this thing called the Ally, and it's out there, and it's not good. Crickets.
Yeah. I mean, this is a... I don't know.
Well, I want to go back to the first press release that came out. It didn't even use the word Verizon in it anywhere, which was a little odd.
Well, see, now to us, the Ally is not good. Maybe to my wife, or give your daughter 4 years, that might be perfect for them. You know, they're, my wife is not going to sit around and say, oh, I can't wait till Froyo comes and she's going to scratch, you know, the invisible sores. So the Ally may be perfect. Maybe it feels good in the hand. You know, that's – I love the Hero. I love the way the Hero feels in my hand, and that means a lot to me.
And I haven't used the Ally. They had an event for it Tuesday night that we weren't up there for. But everybody I talked to who was there is like, all right, yeah, I mean, it's okay. Sure. What do you guys think about the latest Verizon Android phone not being called Droid? Should I read anything into that?
No, I don't think so. I don't think they're trying to put this one in that same category. I think what they're doing with it is just putting out another device and for half the price to get it, you know, another Android device out there. But they're very, very specific with the branding that they're doing with the Droid line. And I don't think this fits the mold.
Do we need another Android device out there? I mean, there are 3,000. They're selling 60,000 Android devices every day. Do we need one more thing in the pool to water it down even more? Jerry?
You know, that when they cover the form factors, you know, I think the Dell slider is going to be interesting. You know, I don't know what to think about these crazy Motorola weird spinner flip hubcap style phones. But, you know, I'd like to see an Android flip phone, a nice one, because there's people that want it. I don't, but a lot of people will. And, you know, that once you cover all the form factors people are going to want and then offer an entry level phone and a high level phone, you know, in my opinion, that's enough. You know, they'll still release more because, you know, money talks, but, you know, that's my opinion that it's time to stop.
And the price is good, $99.
Isn't this kind of the stopgap between the Droid Eris and whatever is going to be next in the Droid line on the low end?
But the Droid Eris is dead. It's the Incredible now.
But the Droid Eris was more on the low end. You had the you know, the Droid and then the Droid Eris, and then, of course, the Incredible, which I don't know. I think they're missing out if they don't have something on the lower end. And it doesn't. And maybe they saw this and they said, "Yeah, we'll license it, we'll use it, but it doesn't fit into our scheme here of what we're doing." And that's what I'm saying. I think it may be a stopgap because, I mean, do you truly see this one, like, you know, sticking around for more than 6 months?
No.
Exactly. So, I think it's an in between, and it got a lot of coverage. That's for sure. I've read more about this than many phones in a while, and I didn't. Really, I mean, from the first time I saw it, I just didn't think it was all that great. But, well, that's what we got.
Well, speaking of phones I don't think are going anywhere, how about the T-Mobile Garmin phone, which is the GPS nav-centric? It's also the A50 from Asus Garmin. It's the A50 Nuvi phone. I played with it at Mobile World Congress. I mean, it's okay, but do we need, like, a dedicated... And I know it's got its special sauce and cool little tweaks, but I just used Google Maps Nav going to Birmingham and back last week. I mean, I knew where I was going, but I wanted to use it to try it out. And it worked perfect. It was fine. It takes a few too many steps to, like, search out a destination that you want to go to. But, you know, they can clean that up. That's software tweaks. That's easy. But the overall experience was great.
It's like taking a camera. Like, let's go buy any, like, an Elf, right? Go buy, like, a Canon Elf and then throw a phone in it. That's kind of what I feel like with this. GPS is a feature of a phone. It's not a phone as a feature of a GPS, and that's what I think they've done with this. So it needs to be just like you said. It's an app on this device. That's what it is.
Jerry?
Well, I was talking with my dad, of all people. My dad uses some ancient Kyocera flip device he got from T-Mobile like in 1912. And I always try to talk him into getting, you know, something a little bit nicer. And I told him, you know, that this Garmin phone's coming out, and he was very interested. But my dad is a typical, you know, imagine a 68-year-old man that lives up in a mountain, and, you know, that's my dad. GPS unit, and it's got a phone on it. Tell me more about that, son. You know, that's kind of how the situation went. And then he spouted off all these other things. They should put a phone in a Lowrance unit on a boat. And all these, you know, other crazy ideas, you know,
I get points for even knowing what that is.
Yeah. There are people out there that want, you know, cellular communications in all their devices.
The very first GPS we had on our boat, my grandfather probably still calls it George, is, it was just numbers, right? That's mm-hmm. all you got. You got the lat long where you were, and it would tell you direction to go, and then you could set waypoints based on the coordinates. And it was like, man, look at how far we've come.
That's right.
And did you have the little red LED bottom finder sitting beside it?
No.
My dad has his boat set up still. Yeah, it's, I know exactly.
Sailboat for us. So, you know, I just knew where the bottom was and when I hit it. Don't go there. You'll run aground. Anyway, the Xperia X10 Mini has gone through the FCC. Cool. It's such a little phone. I wish everybody could play with it. It's so weird. Speaking of different form factors, what do you guys think about a Google tablet?
With Android or Chrome?
Well, see, there's the rumor is Android, and I posed in the poll, you know, would you rather see a tablet with stock Android or something like Sense, or God forbid, Moto Blur or TouchWiz? And the results as of right now, 4,200. Ooh, it's actually pretty much half and half, stock Android or Sense. People love Sense.
I don't see Sense working that well with a tablet.
No, I don't either. I just put it out there as an option.
I don't care what Google does with a tablet. It's going to be hard to beat what HP's coming up with.
See, but I mean, I love WebOS. I think WebOS is great. But again, tablet needs some sort of different UI metaphor, right?
Yeah, I agree. But I think WebOS is closer to what you need on a tablet than Android is. Shoot me now. I just, you know, that's just what I think.
No, I don't disagree. Mickey, what do you think?
Well, I think that Chrome definitely has its advantages just from what I've heard and whatnot. But I think that if they want it to be a competitor with, of course, the iPad crowd, it's going to have an OS that can run applications, and it's the bottom line, it's going to have to be Android.
I think so, too. Probably. Maybe.
Well, I've ran Chrome on a netbook for a while, and it's okay. It's not going to compare to the iPad. It's just not. Mm. You know, not without a total revamp.
That's all I have to say about that. I mean, it'll be cool to see. I'm tempted to buy one of those Arcos 7s, which are like $200 from Amazon, but then I'm just going to have a ho-hum Android thing on a big screen, right?
Well, yeah. That's, you know, I've got an
iPod Touch. If I could put Sense on it, it might be fun.
Well, yeah, it might be fun if you can hack into it a little bit, but
yeah,
I don't see a big need for it.
There's a rumor that Samsung's working on its own tablet. It's going to be a tablet deluge, and we're going to. My exasperation, I think, sums that up.
Well, Mickey, I'm going to assume you have an iPad.
That's a correct assumption there.
Okay. Do you find it useful?
I find it very useful, though I'm finding myself more and more schizophrenic now of what I want to use, because it's just I'm feeling overloaded. I feel like I have one too many things now is what's happened. But
yeah, I can understand.
Mickey Papillon has too many devices.
Well, I had an interesting week. It was totally my fault. I mean, it was like I'm trying to redo, you know, the way that I have my setup, and So I just have, it's like I have one too many things, and I don't know if the iPad is it or not. So I'm hoping. Well, here's the bottom line. It's great around the house. I just don't like taking it anywhere because it just feels goofy taking the thing out. You know, you're like,
I think somebody had one on the plane today and was showing it off to people. And it's cool. I would love to get one for my daughter. It's just too damn expensive. But anyway, Sunday nights, the iPad podcast. We're not doing it tonight. No more iPad talk.
Okay,
done. The Samsung Acclaim is coming to U.S. Cellular. It's good to see these kind of minor regional carriers getting new stuff. I know I've said this before. 3.2-inch HVGA screen, Android 2.1, full QWERTY keyboard. I assume it's a slider. Coming in July. Cool.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a weird time to be releasing new phones, though, because we're going to see... we started joking about this last night with the Sprint guys. We're going to see Froyo next week. We're going to see Android 2.2. And I am fully on board now saying it's 2.2. It's pinging our server logs enough, right? So, I mean, even the Evo... I said, Sprint guys, I'm going to go ahead and start getting the questions. You know, when's it getting 2.2?
Yeah.
And yeah, they don't know. Nobody knows yet. I'm sure they're going to work on it. I hope upgrading from 2.1 to 2.2 isn't going to require a total rewrite like it has for some of the other UIs, right? I mean, the hooks are just totally different going from 1.5 and 1.6 to 2. So Sense needed some major work. Moto Blur needs some major work. I mean, Moto Blur needs work anyway. But to upgrade was more than just slapping on the upgraded OS and spinning it back out, right? So I don't know. Hopefully it's a lot easier, but we don't know when it's coming out for these newer devices at all. And hopefully we'll find out more next week. We'll see.
I wouldn't hold my breath.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, it's going to take some work.
Well, while we're talking about Froyo, story came out yesterday from Android Police. Apparently they've gotten their hands on a Nexus running Froyo, and there's this thing on it called the Just-in-Time Compiler, JIT, that makes non-native apps, and I'll get you to explain what a non-native app is, Jerry, and it makes them run essentially 450 times faster than they do now. So what can you tell me about that?
Well, first, the biggest thing I keep hearing everybody say is, oh, that's going to be great for Flash. No, it's not. Mm-hmm. It's not going to do anything for Flash.
Start telling me what JIT is. Why do I care?
It's okay. JIT. When you download an application from the market, there's a service that runs in Android called the Dalvik Virtual Machine. That's what interprets the code for the application that you've downloaded, and that's what runs it. It's like a second virtual machine on top of Android. What JIT does is it takes the application you've ran, it interprets it, and changes it into machine code so the Android OS and the Dalvik virtual machine can run it 450% faster.
Hmm.
That's all JIT does.
But it's, I want it, right?
Yes. Oh, yes, you want it. you know,
you're like me, Phil. You're like, okay, so that's good, right?
Well, I wonder
that,
or not.
That sounds good.
The, you know, standard third-party applications, you know, I'm not going to believe that they'll all run 450% faster. Things like Linpack that you use to test how fast the compiler runs, that runs 450% faster because all it's doing is measuring the speed that it can run code. Applications themselves that, you know, they're going to have to talk with the kernel and hook into the screen and display something, or, you know, they're going to have to get user input. They're not going to run 450% faster, but they're going to be a lot faster. And Mickey, that's going to take...
Mickey, when you talk to the kernel, what do you get, legs or thighs?
I usually get the drumsticks, actually. So,
yeah. Oh, yeah. Drumsticks are good. Original or crispy?
Yeah, I usually get the original and then I always regret it, so, yeah.
See, now you need to order the extra JIT drumsticks.
Oh, but that would not work well at my KFCs.
But what the biggest thing I think it's going to do is it's going to take load off the system for things like that are native code, like Flash, like HTC Sense, like live wallpapers. You know, those they run pretty good now. You know,
oh, but yeah.
when you take a lot of load off the system, they're going to run even better. And then you have the benefit of your non-native applications, you know, things you download, they're going to run much better. And I think you're going to see a big overall improvement. I've played with JIT a little bit on Eclair. JIT in Eclair is broken. I mean, anybody that wants to try to run it, it's not hard, but it just doesn't work. It force close, crash, buggy, nasty mess. But when it does work and it doesn't crash, oh yeah, it's faster. It's, you know, sometimes you see it, sometimes you don't. But when you run something that it is affected by it, it's faster, noticeably faster. So, you know, once they've got it all straightened out where it's not going to make the system just go haywire, I think we're all going to see very noticeable and very nice improvements.
Something else we've seen is Wi-Fi hotspot. Is it Wi-Fi hotspot? Yeah, it'll spit out as a Wi-Fi hotspot. And USB tether will be built in. It's in custom ROMs now, right? I've got it on CyanogenMod. Works fine. Works great. But that's going to be built in to basic stock Android. But obviously the carriers will be able to strip that out and or charge extra for it or whatever. So we'll see.
Or both.
Or both. Yeah, or both. I mean, I don't know. Has anybody, well, that's the chat room. Have you guys, you know, ever been busted for tethering? Anybody? Jerry? Mickey? Either of you?
No.
I paid for tethering with Sprint, and I don't know how, but it stayed active. I've got four heroes here that are active. All four of them I can plug right in and tether right through Sense with Sprint's blessing. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I've never been busted. And I've hit 15, 16 gigs a month, and ooh, nobody had any problem with it.
Wow. Somebody in the chat room asked, how can you get busted? Look, I mean, if the carrier, and back in the Windows Mobile days, and I'm not sure if it's true with Android, the carrier could tell, you know, whether you were, if you were tethering, they could see a difference in the data stream and not just the amount that you were using, but the way it was being used, in the kind of data. And PDA Net back in the day worked around that. I don't know. I've always been, I do it sparingly when I need to, and I have the MiFi now, so I don't really need to. But actually, the AT&T tether is a little faster for me sometimes, so I don't know. So you got that in 2.2. We saw Flash, another Flash demo that possibly showed the 2.2 home screen, which looked a little different. Looked like they put a little phone button down at the bottom.
Yay!
Yeah, that's good. That'll give you more.
Oh, yeah, it is a phone after screen. All.
I know. I was talking to the cute girl in the airport with her new hero who I was talking to today. She's like, I couldn't find my phone dialer. She could make a call and like hit the buttons to call somebody, but she couldn't actually find the dialer itself. That'll be good.
We're going to see Flash
next week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What did you think of the little video they demoed of Flash now?
It was the Alchemist game again, and I played that game. I used that game at a MWC, so it's not old. Or, I mean, it's not new. It's running a little better. I mean, that's about all I could tell.
So, I've ever used, you know, a leaked out crappy version, and what I saw in the video was a whole lot better than what I've played with.
Oh, yeah, and it was better than what we saw in February, and I would hope it is after 3 months that it's gotten better. No, I think Flash is going to be okay. I mean, we still have a lot of questions. What's it going to do to battery life? How is it going to work at all? I mean, is it going to be good or bad? Don't know, and we just have to see. Mickey doesn't care about Flash.
I don't.
Mickey's tired of Flash.
I don't.
Yeah, well, Jerry doesn't care about Flash much either, but... you know, the choice is nice.
And I think a few people out there do, though.
Oh, I'm sure.
Let's see, what other updates do we have? The Droid Aris 2.1 update's coming out right now. Slowly.
But it's nice to see that almost every really recent device is getting it. I mean, that's, if you've got one, it's coming.
Android and me... A month or so ago, said they had heard from somebody at Google who said that every U.S. Android device would get upgraded. And at the time, I kind of scoffed at it because it's like, all right, I mean, it's a blind source, whatever. But, I mean, there are just so many roadblocks you have to go through for updates to come out. But more and more phones are getting it. Do you think the G1's going to get an update to 2 or 2.1?
Hmm. No.
I hope not.
I mean, or do we even count that? Is that phone too old now?
Yeah. I think you still count it. I just don't think it's
I think there's still a lot of them out there.
Yeah.
Well, it's just what's going to have to be done to get it running.
Yes,
it's just going to introduce bugs. Yeah, they're better off 1.6 runs good on the device. Just be happy with it. You've used it for a year and a half.
Mm-hmm. The Samsung Moment update kind of came out today, sort of. And apparently it's still up. It's just actually labeled as the old one still, so you can go get it. And it will be officially out tomorrow, so cool. Congrats for all you Moment owners. MyTouch 3G getting Android 2.1. Good. Sprint Hero, supposedly. We got a another document that said it'll be out in a week. I'll believe it when I see it. Sorry. Sorry, Jerry. I know. I mean, you don't care. You're rooted.
No. But, well, warranty void 15 seconds out of the box. That's Jerry.
Oh, man. All right. So that's good enough for the OS. I do want to point everybody to a couple great pieces we've had lately. We'll start with Jerry's awesome piece on how to extend your battery life and get the most out of it. Especially, I mean, look, all you people with Incredibles out there, that only has a 1300 milliamp hour battery, right? It's not a giant battery. You're not going to get the same usage out of it that you will from a Droid or the Nexus One or, you know, something with a larger battery. I mean, juice is juice is juice, right? And every phone works differently anyway. But if the battery's smaller, you're not going to be able to use it as long. Basic physics. So A, go to the store and buy the Sadio battery out of the Android Central store. Plug, plug. And follow Jerry's tips.
Well, another thing we have to realize, too, is in the glove box of my truck, I keep an old beater BlackBerry 8830. No matter what I do to that phone, it still works. So I use it when I'm fishing or whatnot. It hasn't seen a charger in well over a week, and it's been sitting out in the glove box of my truck getting texts and Twitters and everything else. I went out and got it last night. It was still running. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't do much. It's a little bitty screen. You know, BlackBerry is very good about what it does in the background, so it's not using much. You compare that to the Incredible. You know, let's face it, the Incredible it's not a phone. It's a little computer. Mm-hmm. And, you know, your laptop batteries don't last 2 days, and nobody complains because they don't. You can't expect a phone that can do that much with that big of a screen to get you the same battery life that you're used to from your two-year-old phone.
Mickey?
Well, I think the real thing that needs to you got to keep in mind is very much what Jerry says. You have I'm thinking about the usage that I've had recently, and I for whatever reason that the way that Jerry just put it actually rang very true to me, and that's, you know, my usage of, because I've got multiple different devices, and any of the Android or iPhone style operating system devices, they seem to really, give you much worse battery life, but you don't really know why. But in thinking about that, it totally makes sense, is that you're doing so much more on it like that. I mean, all my BlackBerry does is really send and receive email, and so no wonder I can go multiple days with it. You know, I never watch video on it. I never listen to podcasts on it. I never, you know, load up Twitter clients and stuff like that. And when you do that on those devices, it certainly can impact the battery. So I think there's a lot of different factors that do it. But what this article goes into a lot of really good things, and that's, you know, how to manage that battery life. And we all know the typical ones, like, you know, turning off your GPS, turning off your Wi-Fi, turning off Bluetooth, turn down your screen brightness and stuff like that. But conditioning the battery when you first get it is obviously a good one. It can make all the difference, especially if you're, you know, hard on batteries and you charge them every day, is to make sure that its life starts out right. And, you know, there's something to be said about still thinking about your battery and how well your phone, how long it will last. Because I know people who, you know, can burn through a cell phone battery in a year. And usually I'm no problem 2-3 years on a cell phone battery. Not that I keep phones that long, but I'm just saying, you know, I can, on phones that I've had and given to people or sold, you know, to people or whatever, it's, you know, it can make a lot of difference. So just know what you're doing when you're managing the power in your battery. Plugging it in and unplugging it all the time is, you know, when it's not fully charged, is not real good for it. I'll just say that.
And as these phones get better and we get to do more stuff with them, you're using them more.
That's
right.
You're
doing more. I mean, you're just flat out in your hand using it more. So.
Yeah, when I first got my pre last year, I was lucky to get 2 hours battery life out of it because I never put it down. You know, that was such a new thing compared to what I'd used before. And people that got the Incredible, a lot of them are in the same boat. You know, it's different from what they came from. So they're having a ball playing with it. And then they say, well, why didn't my battery last? It's only been 3 hours. What, they've been on YouTube for 2 hours and surfing the web and everything else. It's just not going to last.
Absolutely. Yeah. Let's talk apps briefly. A lot of really good apps have come out in the past week. New York Times app, finally. Near and dear to my heart.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
What else? Google Maps got updated with biking navigations.
That's kind of cool.
A nav shortcut now, so you can just go to your app drawer.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and location sharing. That's the cool part of that update for me.
Yeah, what do you do with that?
Let's say it's the middle of the night and I'm up in Georgetown in DC and I'm 2 sheets into the wind, not quite 3, so I can still work my phone, and I want my friend who I know lives 10 miles away to come check out this band that's playing at a club. Which club? Where's it at?
Never,
I can just send,
never,
you know,
had
just
that
send
happen.
It to him.
Rick Skeller, DC, Georgetown, DuPont. All right, so now I can tell people where the Brick Scaler is. Cool.
Yep.
Dolphin Browser HD. This is almost about to become my daily browser now, I think. It's pretty damn good. We got a video up if you haven't seen it yet. I love how it will go full screen. That is very cool.
But you can't use YouTube with it.
Yeah, they just updated YouTube, made them take out the... No, you can use YouTube. The thing is, you can't download YouTube videos, and that was kind of one of the main features of this new version, was you could download the video straight to your phone. Unless you don't update. Yeah. If you don't update the app, you'll have the old version, and you're still good to go. It's a little funny. I mean, remember who owns YouTube is Google, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that was interesting. I can see why you wouldn't necessarily want to do it. I mean, there's a lot of copyrighted stuff that's legally on YouTube, right? So there you go. Google I/O app, if you want to follow along what we will be doing and watching next week. I mean, it's a scheduler, basically. But I'm going to use it because I'm going out there. But that's pretty cool that they rigged that up. Android Market. We've gotten a lot of emails from you guys out there saying you either couldn't connect or the downloads would start but not finish. I don't know. Mickey, Jerry, you guys had any of these problems?
No, I'll prefer to Jerry.
Google has to do something. It's all on their end, the way their server stores your credentials. You know, the people that used leaked versions for the Aris, that, you know, they couldn't see certain apps because Google has to allow the fingerprint that's hard-coded into the OS that you're using. They have to say, okay, that's valid. You can get your, you know, secure or paid apps. And it's not working. Every time you get a software update, even a minor one, when a Sprint set out the one, you know, earlier in this year that fixed the problem with the stock messaging client, the market went out for everybody on Sprint for like 2 weeks. It's ridiculous. If Google wants to, you know, really push their app store, they're going to have to tighten things up just a little bit.
So there's nothing we can do to fix it? I know we posted
you have to be rooted, but you can physically change the fingerprint on your software, log into the market, don't download anything, shut your phone off, change back to the, you know, any other valid fingerprint, and then log into Google. And that'll force a refresh on Google's end, and it'll work as long as Google says your fingerprint is good. Gotcha. I don't know what it takes to refresh it on Google's end, But I know that will do it. I don't know how else you can do it, but I know that'll work. But that's a huge pain.
Sling Player, I know we talked about it a minute ago, private beta, so that will be coming out at some point. And we've seen the app. We've seen videos of the app working before. But I know, Mickey, you're very excited about this.
I love the Sling Player. It's fantastic.
What do you use it for? Football?
Yeah, a lot of football. I'm a big Twins fan, so I watch the Twins, although I haven't watched it recently. Long story.
That was an awesome movie. Danny DeVito at his best.
Yeah, not the Twins. I've got one in Colorado too, and so I watch stuff from Colorado. So I like watching different things at different times too. It's one of the things that I actually, the nice thing about having them in different time zones is that I'm not a real patient person, and if I want to watch something that is later on, I don't have to wait for it. So like I can watch Jay Leno starting at essentially like 8:30 my time if I want, which is kind of cool.
Have you watched Tomorrow's already?
No.
No? Okay. Windows 3.1 running on Android. Great. Cool. Glad somebody did that. That's a good use of time.
Right.
Quake 3 running on a Milestone with the Zemote controller. That's kind of cool. But again, how many people other than the five who hacked that on there are going to try it? Whatever. Kind of some big shakeup news on Android this week. Eric Tsang, who we met, shared a limo ride from hell with a guy in Vegas in January. Mickey, you were there for that.
I was.
Is leaving Android. He's the senior program manager. He was the man behind Android. We saw him again in Barcelona demoing some Flash stuff, and he's leaving. He's going to Facebook. What's up with that? Well,
that's good news and bad news. All the Android Facebook fans, you know, what's he going to be doing at Facebook? He's pretty knowledgeable about the way Android works, so their Facebook app should start looking much better.
Write this down. May 13th, Facebook phone. May 13th, 2010, Phil said Facebook phone. Just saying, and that's all I'm saying.
You know it would sell. If they're looking for money, I got a little bit I'll throw at them.
And then we find out that a senior software engineer, Cedric, I don't know how to pronounce his last name, B-U-S-T, Bust, Based,
the,
Bust?
The Entertainer.
Yes.
Cedric, yeah, there we go.
He's leaving. He's going to LinkedIn. In his blog, he said he's been at Google for 6 years, so it's not like he showed up, you know, a year ago and worked on this and cranked some stuff out and jumped ship. It sounds like he's just honestly going to another job. But big line in his blog post said, prepare to be blown away by what you will see very soon, talking about Froyo. So I'm excited. I'm getting more and more excited as we go into I.O. next week. And I wish everybody could come with me. Is anybody in the chat room coming to I.O. to the dev conference? Anybody? Chat room? I know it takes them a minute to catch up. Yeah? Yeah, a few of you guys. All right, so we're all going to go get drinks, and you'll tell me all the secrets, right? I'm excited. Can't wait. And the Froyo sculpture has appeared. It's on Google's campus. It was under It was undercover today, but it looks like the guy who made the thing was so excited about it, he did a video with it and uploaded it to YouTube. He's like, here it is. Yay.
That's a smart way to make sure you get the next contract to build the next one for Gingerbread, isn't it?
They got to look and see if they've pulled that video yet. It looks like frozen yogurt with mixed berries and nuts. Let's see. Oh, they pulled the video. They made it private.
Well, you know what I like about the whole story is the reporter from TechCrunch that went to, you know, take pictures of it, tried to unwrap it and almost got nailed by security. More power to her. You know, my hat's off to her.
That's kind of dumb. Why?
Oh, I mean, I'd be there with a razor knife stripping that baby open. They'd have to drag me away. So, you know, I can appreciate the fact that she wanted to do that for everybody. So my hat's off to her.
What do you guys think about this report that came out late last week about Android selling more phones in the first quarter than the iPhone? And then Apple came back and said, well, wait a minute. you're not taking into account the 85 million people who have iPhones now. And I would say you're right, because we're talking first quarter.
Yeah.
You know, that said, it's first quarter numbers, and it's not surprising that iPhone numbers are down in the first quarter. They expect them to be. That's just how it works. But still, it's pretty telling. I mean, we know Android's popular. We know it's getting more popular every month.
It will continue to do so. And obviously, the Incredible is going to be a big one. I've already seen you know, a few of them out there, and so I know people are excited about it. And as the Evos comes along here in just a couple short weeks, that's going to help as well. And for U.S. numbers, that is key, is getting these devices tied into a carrier. Obviously, we saw what happened with the Nexus. And so the, you know, the marketing push that gets behind these is very positive. And it seems like all the carriers are really taking note of what's going on the Android side and deciding to, you know, get themselves some sort of flagship device with them. So I think that's very smart.
The third quarter sales figures after Apple releases their next generation device is going to tell a little bit better story, in my opinion.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Definitely.
I agree. Should we give something away? I know you guys have been waiting patiently. Let's give something away. Anybody? Nobody cares? Nobody wants us to give anything away?
I'm looking to see what I got here to give away. I've got a half a pack of cigarettes, an old thumb drive.
I have two game grippers. And
well, that's
I've
better.
Got a review. I've got a review ready to run. I'll put it up tomorrow. It's the little rubber pad that goes on the Motorola Droid, and you assign buttons to it, and it's almost like you got Nintendo right there in your hand, and it works pretty darn well. I was more than impressed. So here's what we're going to do. For you folks who aren't listening to this live, well, you just missed out, and you need to come listen to us live. You want to do some emails real quick, and then we'll wrap it up?
Sounds good.
Sounds good.
Anybody? Yeah. Reginald writes,
or you can.
Mickey can read the first one. I can read the first one.
Reginald writes, I'm using the Droid Incredible and wanted to know what program you're using to take screenshots, as I would like to create a demonstration for using ActiveSync in my work group. And I actually shouldn't have read this one, because I was the one who asked Phil on how he takes screenshots with his Android device. And of course, the answer was one I did not want to hear. And that was
I use the SDK. Yeah, I plug my phone in and go through the SDK. And I'm in the command line a lot anyway doing stuff, so I've got nice little shortcuts set up in there, and it's real nice and easy. So that's how I do it. Jerry, do you use an app on your phone, or do you go through the SDK? Or
I use the SDK. I have a screenshot app on, you know, you have to be rooted to use it. But right. I usually use the SDK. I'm got my phones plugged in half the time anyway.
Root your phone, root your phone, root your phone. David writes, hey guys, loved your article about saving battery life in my awesome Nexus on Android phone. Just one question. I saw that screenshot of a percentage battery life left in the stock battery icon on the notification bar. How did you do that? If you tell me, I'll be your best friend. Cyanogen has it built into his ROM. Jerry, do you have it? I mean, is there any other way to do that that you know of, or?
Well, I mean, you either, you know, you have to do it yourself or just use Cyanogen mod. It's
but there's not like an app that you can just launch.
No, it's a major framework edit.
Gotcha. So there you go. Not easy. We got a couple voicemails. Here we go. We'll start with Nick.
Yeah, my name is Nick. My question is, I am a current pre user. Have had it since it came out and enjoy it quite a bit in the browsing and the multitasking and all that good stuff. My question is, when I switch to an Android device, which I will be doing because I'm a bit of a Google fanboy, what do I get to look forward to? What changes? I'm not sure if either of the gentlemen that I listen to have used both the pre and an Android phone, but what changes do I get to look forward to, better or worse? Thanks.
All right, so Nick kind of has a giant overarching question. He's going from a pre and wants to get a Nexus probably, although cannot sprint anymore, so he might be changing his mind. But kind of the, all right, we've all used Prees. What are like, Mickey, what are your top three things you get if you jump to Android from the Pre?
Well, I would say speed, number one. I find that the WebOS to be very useful and very robust to have some speed issues. I think the lack of innovative hardware now, a year later, is the second one. I find that what Android has done with all these different styles and whatnot is really great, and you're kind of stuck on just the two. So those would and then I don't really have a third one, but I would say definitely if you're interested at all in checking out an Android device, I would say go spend the money on one and pick it up and try it out, and if you don't like it, go ahead and return it. But I think you'll enjoy the change and stuff like that. Unless you are just have come from something and the Pre is just, something that is totally blows you away, I think you're definitely going to like Android much better.
Jerry?
Well, I think everything you hate about the Pre is going to be better on Android. Like Mickey said, the hardware, the speed, the applications. But it's a learning curve. Out of the box, there are going to be things that, the Pre seemed a little bit better with doing, and you're going to have to tweak Android, download some stuff from the market to make it functional like you think it should be functional. It's a big change coming from a Pre to an Android device. The operating systems, basically they do the same thing just in different ways. But all the things I hated about my Pre are the things that Android does so much better. Hardware, too many cards. Oh, I hated that. Too many cards. I don't have to worry about that.
Well, but the Pre Plus kind of took care of that.
Well, see, if you live on this mountain, there's no other, just Sprint. That's all we have. You've seen a screenshot of my T-Mobile phone.
Yes.
So I have no idea about a Pre Plus. If they fix the too many cards error, that's great. But still, the overall fluidity, I guess, is a good smart learning style word to use. Android does it better, especially the newer devices. You switch from a Pre to a Hero or a G1, you might not be very happy. But Nexus, Incredible, Evo, new Samsung phones, you're going to be very pleased with all the things you didn't like about the Pre. But just know, if you take a little bit of time, the things about Android that you're kind of, I like the way the Pre did it, you can make Android work for you just as well as you could WebOS.
There you go. All right. And we got in, and I agree with both of you. I really don't have anything to add to that. I think you hit the nail on the head. And we got a voicemail from Samir.
Hey, Phil and Mickey. This is Javier calling from Miramar, Florida. This is a message for the Android Central podcast. I just want to call and say, Evo, Evo, Evo. I really got nothing else to say. I got no questions. Your website is awesome. Answers any questions that I have. Any comments, your podcast is great. Keep up the great show. Keep up the awesome website. And that's it.
There you go. We're badass. We're nationwide.
Yay.
I'm bad. Yeah, we're not going to do ZZ Top on here, but we should.
Be like Hesse and play some Led Zeppelin when you introduce yourself.
Hesse was kind of cool. That's it, I think. We miss anything?
I can't think of anything.
Let people know how they can get in touch with us. There are a number of ways. You can send an email to questions. Wow, that's my email address. podcast@androidcentral.com is how you can email us, or you can give a call to the voicemail line, 888-468-6158, extension 222. Also, you can get in touch with us on Twitter, and we are at Android Central as a site. Phil is at Phil Nickinson. I am at TCPJ_Mickey. And I don't know what Jerry's is, so I'll let him say it.
At GB Hill, GBHIL.
I guess I knew that. And of course, the entire show is brought to you by the Android Central Store, which can be found at store.androidcentral.com, or you can call them 866-757-8117 and pick up that extended battery for your Incredible or whatever other Android accessories you're looking for.
Very cool.
Nice.
Yeah. So anyway, that's it, guys. We'll see you later. See you next week. Maybe we'll see what we got to figure out next week because I'm in San Fran and flying back Thursday night late. So we'll figure that out and let you know. So ta-ta for now.
See ya.
Adios.
Okay. So why don't we do a podcast? All right. So long as we're here. Sorry, I actually did start choking.
La 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 la.
All right, chat room, calm down. I'll announce some winners. Jeez. So how many emails have I just gotten? 71, I think. I got 69, I got 68 emails from all you guys. That's it, don't send any more. Cutting it off. So, see guys, I can do a live podcast. I made it work. I rock.